Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. I am here with my fabuloso co-host, which is Artrell. Let me find some music, Jones. And we have Mike. I got everything you need to know about wrestling, the Encyclopedia Eisler.
Not everything.
Pretty much everything. Pretty much everything. Okay, so I thought we would start off with like just some local things that have been going on in the area like recently, and then we'll just go from, we'll spin out from there. And I don't know if anybody has noticed, but there just seems to have been lately a very, an uprising, it seems, almost in the amount of domestic violence incidents that have resulted in the death of someone. Most recently, there was a case, and it came to a head this past weekend, sadly, of a woman and her two children who were killed by her ex. Apparently, what makes the story even worse, if it can get even worse, was that a neighbor actually called 911 the night that he killed her, reporting saying there were screams and someone begging someone to stop hitting him, and the cops never showed up until the next day. Now, personally, if I was the family, I would be suing Milwaukee Police Department, because if that story actually comes out as being true, there's a possibility that the deaths of these three needn't have happened.
Right, as you said, it's like it could have been prevented.
It seriously could have been prevented. Now, sadly, I've actually been on the receiving end of being beaten up by somebody who's supposed to love you. I will say it's not any of the men who are in this room, even though I'm pretty sure that there are times they could quite happily throttle me, but only in the sense that I bug them to half to death. But that is one of the reasons right there in regards to the police department as to why so many women stay in abusive relationships and also end up seriously hurt or dead. Because there are a lot of times the police will not go to, I mean, obviously, where this incident happens on north side of Milwaukee, the police really don't give a shit what goes on over here anyway. That's blatantly obvious. But they don't, if you know what I mean. They know that we have dealers around here, and they just drive through every so often. Very rarely do anything about it. There's been more shootings than I care to imagine around here, and not much is done about it. So, you know, the police not showing up is one incident. And to me, if you get a neighbor, especially, if you get a neighbor who calls up and says, I can hear screaming coming from my next door neighbor's house. You know what I mean? You need to be present and correct and get in, looking into this. Maybe their lives couldn't have been saved, but we're at a point where we don't know. You know what I mean? We seriously do not know because nobody was, you know, they're dead now. And I can honestly say from my own experience, I called the cops so many times, and a lot of times their response when they show up at you is they will question you in front of the abuser and say, did he hit you? You don't ask questions like that in front of the abuser. The other thing they do is, well, what caused this to happen? And if just for argument's sake, say it started because the woman had had a couple of drinks. Well, I went out and had a couple of drinks. Oh, so you came back drunk. The other one is, what did you do to cause this to happen? That's the other thing that you can't say to someone. The only time to me it warrants me getting hit back is if I come up to you and bust you in your face first. And even then, a lot of men won't do anything back. But to me, that's the only time it's warranted if somebody attacks you first. So what are your guys' thoughts on it?
I've never been a witch. I've never done it, and I've never been a part of it, so I have no matter on the subject.
Well, my thing is like, why did it, you know, happen, and how did it, you know, happen? I don't know if the police got all that information or anything like that, as it is, like,
how
it started.
Let me look it up. Amber Alert. Family. Oh, I'm just going to bring it up. Well, it says the bodies. Oh, goodness sake. It says the bodies of two missing girls and their mother being found dead after an Amber Alert was issued. Which it was, says the bodies of the two missing girls and their mother are found after the alert was issued and then cancelled on Sunday. The victims, Jerika Banks, Zaniya Ivory, and Kamira Banks, were found in a garage on the 4700 block of West Burleigh. The three were last seen on February 8th. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office said it was called to the scene of a triple homicide. Autopsies were done this week. Identified the victims as the mother and daughter, last seen to be with Arzell Ivory, and he was arrested in Memphis. The Memphis police told WISN that Ivory's father came home to find his son at his home. They said told his father about the death in Milwaukee, and the father flagged him to officer down to take his son into custody. So he was turned in by his dad, which is a good thing.
Right.
He is described as the ex-boyfriend of Jerika Banks. According to court records, Ivory was charged in Milwaukee County on Saturday with aggravated battery. Homicide charges will be coming later, which they were. But the sad thing is that I think some of the problems that we get right now and is that there are no really strong male role models in a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there hasn't really been for a lot of people that man to look up to and say, this is how you treat a woman. This is how you don't treat a woman. And I know you didn't really have that strong male role model, but you saw from how the women in your life were treated, like your mom and everything, of how you weren't going to treat someone.
Right, exactly.
You had the different thing in the fact that you were raised by your grandfather, who, from what you said, was a hardworking man, adored your grandma, you know, and I'm pretty sure if anybody even attempted to raise their hand to your grandma, it would just be a thought in their head because you'd kill them before they had a chance to do it.
Very true. You're always carrying a pistol.
So, I mean, and that's the thing, is that we need more people to have those stronger role models to set an example.
Right, it could be anybody. It could be from an uncle, from a
grandfather,
cousin.
Even if it's a next-door neighbor who you – because I don't know about you guys, but I was raised with a generation where your neighbors knew what shit was going on in your house, and they told on your ass when you were in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's missing. And the other thing that's missing is that you've got too many women out there as well who I know there's the mentality, I can do bad by myself. Yeah, you go for it. You can raise your kids by yourself without having, you know, the father, if he chooses not to be there around, good for you if you can do it all. But there's also too many women who keep fronting up to men and starting shit with men. We've watched the videos. You know what I mean? And then you've got, and it's not an excuse for violence and murdering someone, but we've got to start doing better at raising our kids, about being in the community. And, you know, if you see someone getting their ass whooped, no one's telling you, go and, you know, go up to them and break it up. But don't film it, call the cops. I will proudly say, we have called the cops on shit that's gone on. The only time I filmed it is when the cops are involved, already there. You know, and
right.
It's ridiculous. It really is that there's so much. It's like people are more interested in showing the bad side of everybody instead of raising up the good. And that's what's wrong. Start having, and this is the other thing. Then by, I think a lot of the things as well is that the schools cut so many after school programs and made doing sports so expensive for families that being able to say, you know, signing your kid up for basketball, baseball, football, swim team, track teams, you know, whatever it is that would keep them off the streets and keep them involved in something has become so expensive they can't do it. Having the after-school programs also, like, say, art club and music and other things like that have all been taken away. So you don't even really have that teacher role model. I don't know about you, but there was, like, three teachers who were, like, huge influence on me growing up in school. One of them's actually on my friends list.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Caballero, excellent science teacher. He actually, I'll give you a prime example. He got so sick and tired of people not listening in his class that he sat there one day and he said, okay, so I want you to copy down everything I say and write on the board. So people were doing it. And he had a whole lesson to how to split an atom. You split an atom, you get a nuclear explosion. And he was doing things like, first of all, you need to go find an atom. You can find them in many different places and all this lot. Then he was like, you got to get a vise, a hammer and chisel. And me, my cousin, and my cousin's best friend, Voice Love, we all started laughing because we knew what was going on. And when the class was over, he pointed at us three and he said, you guys don't get any homework. And we went, why? Because you listened. And I think that's the other thing that we need is that you need to have that really good, strong teaching role model. Because if there isn't that male figure at home, having that male figure at school where you are going to be every day for a long time is an important thing. And it's just not there.
Really needed.
It really is. And that's the whole problem with it as well, is that, you know, you've got to have that sense of, well, this is my other theory as to why there's so many problems as well. Nowadays, it seems like when a kid gets in trouble at school and the school calls up the parent and says, your kid's done X, Y, and Z, parents are ready to argue with the teacher. My kid wouldn't do that. Why would you say my kid did that? You just don't know how to look after my kid.
Why would the teacher call?
Yeah. And that's a huge problem to me right there.
Or if you know your kid did something, your sister has to call. Or something happened.
Right. And that to me is the sad part of things. But anyway, we're going to play a song and then we'll be right back.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Thank you.
And we are back. If you hear any snoring in the background during the rest of this hour, it will be one of my dogs, who is obviously in a comfy position and sound asleep. I think it was Mindy who was having a good snore. So, moving on to, like, carrying on where we left off and everything, what other things do you think are some of the main problems that we've got going on in like society and community that is leading to what it seems like an escalation in domestic violence?
I kind of sum it up, I have enough male role models.
That I do not know.
So sometimes, like I said, there are moms that should be out there, like, trying to teach them, like, what was right and what's wrong.
I agree. So, okay, as we're talking about male role models, for both of you, who was the biggest role model in your life growing up?
You already know that answer.
Well, they don't. Just talk, or you can go away.
I can?
Yeah.
You've already addressed that, though.
Well, say it in your own words. You say why your grandfather was the big role model in your life.
Because he actually gave a damn.
And you know what? In all honesty, at the end of the day, that answer right there is probably one of the things that needs to be. It is having somebody who gives a damn. And not just like 5 minutes here and there or when there's a photo opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who gives a damn, period. Who was it for you?
It was nobody.
It was Randy Watson.
You know, Randy Watson did do a good job. But for me, I had, like, my uncle, which was my aunt's husband for, a lot of my life. Well, all my life. And then my mom met my stepdad, and he was a positive influence as well. I know for Robert, you were, because you were there when, you know, from age 7 onwards.
Yeah, I do give a damn.
And, you know, he didn't have the best role model leading up to then. And the sad thing is that his dad, and I know there are a lot of fathers out there who think they could just say, I'm sorry, and it's all better. And it's not. You have to show that you're sorry with actions and everything. I mean, your dad has told you he's sorry so many times, but he then does the same shit over and over and over. It's like,
exactly, but especially when that one day that he had a family member just try to, like, steal and...
Yep.
I did not even know about it until...
They're running into the car.
Yeah.
And he, what he doesn't realize is we could have lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. It really is.
far, especially him trying to, like you say, he was already saying sorry and stuff, but it's like, you just get to a point that it's not good enough.
Right. You don't want to see, hear sorry, you want to see sorry.
Right.
And this is why, you know, part of the reason why I get on Mike about saying, it's not because I don't think he's a good dad. I think he is a very good dad. You know, he's just been given a shit situation that he's dealing with. But it's like, I want the fathers of the, like the, my friends who are fathers, I want to see them doing so much better than what is out there. You know, by all means, you know, you can be, like, a prime example is your brother, your half-brother, Chris. He's a great dad. Those kids always come first. I know that your brother is a good dad as well. But we got to have more men out there willing to be that good, willing to step up and guide these kids. And not just the good, not just boys. Girls need a strong male role model in their life as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the saying goes, my mom could teach me what, you know, to look for in a man, and she teaches me what it's like to be a woman and everything. But you need a strong male role model and a good one to show you how a man is supposed to treat a woman, how a man is supposed to treat other people, you know, and give you that bar that you look up to. And men have got to do better. As I've said it to a few people, if you look at yourself in the mirror, and if you're not the type of man you would want your daughter to be with, okay, we're going to play another song, then we're going to come back. And try to find something good. We'll come back and then we'll find something else to talk about. I've got to find a good song. Oh, there we go.
Party, people not in day, living crazy, that's the only
We are back, and it's like more news that came out of our area of just total idiocy. A bunch of kids decided that it had been snowing and they were going to throw snowballs at people. They threw snowballs at a passing car. Driver stopped the car, got out, and shot at the kids. I'm actually going to bring up the article.
Yeah, children have been killed.
Driver shoots. Snowball throwers. See, it's right up there. This actually happened a couple of weeks, actually back in January. And it says, authorities in Wisconsin were searching for a driver who shot two youths who played through snowballs at his car. They were treated at a local area hospital when the incident occurred. They didn't die. It was just non-life threatening.
I just saw, like, today that they said they...
Let me go back.
I got to find, like, an updated
one. Let's see. Driver in court for shooting... It is a little nippy. If you want to turn up the heat, go right ahead. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, I feel you. I'm having trouble bringing it up. Here we go. Suspect charged. Okay, it says detectives matched the gun found in a chase suspect's car to a scene where two children were shot after throwing snowballs. William Carson is charged in the January 4th shooting. According to the criminal complaint, seven children were throwing snowballs at the vehicle. Snowball hit the car. The driver turned around, got out of his car, and started shooting. Two of the children suffered gunshot wounds but survived. Another child's jacket was grazed by a bullet. The complaint said Oak Creek officers stopped him after a chase and found a gun in his car. According to the documents, police testified the gun and believed it was the same one used in the shooting. The complaint said that the guy purchased the gun 11 days before the shooting. He was charged with two counts of reckless injury with a dangerous weapon and five counts of recklessly endangering the safety of others with a dangerous weapon. He was held in Milwaukee County Jail with $35,000 bail. So, but that's another case of stupidity at its finest. You know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest. kids all over throw snowballs at everything. Everything, everyone. You know what I mean? If you didn't throw a snowball at somebody or something in your life, you're a liar. Or you live somewhere where there's no snow. Because it's just what you do as kids. And now we're not letting them do that because they're going to get shot at. It really is, to me, like getting beyond a freaking joke. It's ridiculous.
They rather would shoot them at each other than shoot them at cars and stuff.
Well, but it didn't justify being shot at. It really didn't justify being shot at all.
Right, but I think the thing so was has been going on since I was a kid.
Right.
And, you know, somebody just got, like, tired of him.
But he shouldn't have shot him.
Right, he shouldn't have shot him.
He should have pulled over and yelled at him.
Right.
And let's be honest, if you throw something at a car and the car stops and reverses up, as a kid, you're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done that. And it brings me actually on to another subject, and a friend of ours does this with his friends in the summer. They fill up water pistols, water guns, and they drive around and they squirt people at bus stops. Now, to me, they are beyond lucky that nobody has pulled out a gun and fired on them, to be perfectly honest. Because as much as they film it and they put it online and they think it's funny, and I've said to them several times, one day you're going to do it at the wrong person. And they're all like, no, they know it's a joke, they know it's a joke. That's not how it's going to go on. It really isn't.
Sorry, nobody ain't going to take it as a joke.
And, you know, he was saying, this particular person was saying one summer, he's like, oh, we should put beer in it and do that. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? It's like, how ridiculous do you have to be?
Right.
So. Yeah, but they won't. That's the thing. And this particular person I know is the youngest child in his family, and he's treated like it as well. He's treated as the baby of the family and all this long, and his attitude matches it. It really does. So is there anything you guys want to talk about? As you said, you were going to help on the radio show.
You think
counting over? You have not. I've asked you a couple of things. You've already mentioned it. I have no opinion on that. That's not like commenting. That's having no view whatsoever.
Yes, never happened to you.
Oh, see, this is where you lie. Because I know damn well you've been on the receiving end of a female hitting you. Because your ex bragged to me about it, that she used to hit on you when she would get angry. And she would do it anytime she chose to because you would never hit her back.
Yeah, but it wasn't one of those cases where I got beat to death, though.
Yeah, but she still should have been putting her hands on you, period. I mean, I will say, the three of us have had some epic play fights. I will be getting my belt back from you, Archer. I'm just pouring that out there.
Yeah.
But nobody should be putting their hands on you, period, even if it's once. I mean, unless you're into kinky shit and like getting your ass banged, then nobody should be hitting you at all. I know. I know. But who else in your, and I know the other person who was probably not as big as of an influence on your life as your grandfather, but somebody who I know just from you talking about who has your respect growing up, and that I do believe was your brother's father.
Yeah.
So tell us about what your brother's dad was like.
Kind of took on the mantle of being my stepdad, being that him and my mom were together for so long. And outside of my grandfather, he was the only other male figure in my life. Because, of course, like I said, he just took on the mantle Yeah, but it was a good time to step there in summer. Oh, those water fights were hectic.
Can we honestly say that you don't see that a lot anymore? Kids having a really good water fight.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did that at our old house before we moved here. Anybody who doesn't know AJ, let me just bring you up to speed. If he sees a water gun on sale, he buys it. We actually have a nice collection, different size calibers of water guns.
Mm-hmm.
And right before we moved here, we had neighbors who had a bunch of kids. And me and AJ just decided we were going to have a water fight against each other to begin with, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then the neighborhood kids joined in, and we let them use our water guns and everything. And don't you agree that it was absolutely ridiculous that the aunt, and the grandma got pissed off that they were playing with water guns? They were like, don't be squirting that. You're getting water everywhere. You're getting wet. It was a freaking hot day, and I mean, it was hot. It was one of those 85, 90 degree days, weren't it? And we had a great time. And these two adults in charge were upset because the kids were having fun, having a water fight, and not sitting on the porch behaving, squirting anywhere near them. They were coming up by us and squirting us, and we were squirting them back. And those kids had a blast, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And I remember doing that all the time. We would have these old liquid bottles that were like this. They were about, I want to say, a foot high, and they were round, like big cylinders, and they had these perfect, like, tops on them. And we used to beg our parents to save them, and then we'd fill those up and then go around squirting everybody. But nobody was smart enough to rinse out the dishwashing liquid, so you would get covered in bubbles and stuff. It that shit get in your eyes. You walk in at the end of it all happy, and your eyes are all red and watery, and good times. Good times. Okay, this is another question I have for you in regards to kids and everything. Do you think parents, and I'm only saying not all parents, do you think some parents have forgotten how to play with their kids? Like play games and.
Yep, that's why some of them are messed up now.
But I'm not just on about board games, but I remember my parents playing with my dolls with me and playing with Legos with me. Do you know what I mean? Actually getting down on the floor and playing like coloring books. And we spent so much time, didn't we, playing games with Robert, and we had board games that he made. Robert used to change the rules on every damn game that you played with him. He would make up his own rules. If he didn't like how, no, we don't play like that. I made up new rules. That was his thing. He loved his coloring books. They came everywhere with us. And you and him, you taught him how to play certain video games and just play games and cars and stuff in general. And I think that's enough. Me and Maggie were actually having the same conversation, is that the way kids learn is through play. And parents are just quick now to just hand them a phone or a tablet and say, don't bug me.
Right.
Whereas I know that when you take your kids to like the library or to McDonald's and stuff, the McDonald's that you always go to has got a play area. And I think that's more for your own sanity than anything else. And I know that you let him play on your phone and everything, but I also know that you encourage him to go play. You know, go play on the thing. But that's the other thing. That's the other thing that is fun to do. AJ can attest to this. Even before I started sewing as much as I do now, I always had craft stuff around for Robert. We were always making stuff. And I think that's what's so much fun and so important, is learning how to do things and everything. Like Maggie got a load of stuff for Dominic to do at her house, and one of the things that he had was these boards, and you guys probably remember these from when you were in kindergarten, that had the holes in and you had the laces and you would thread them through like you were sewing and stuff. Bunch of those for Dominic. She found them at Goodwill. They were $1 for like 10 of these boards, and had shapes like the moon, and he had to use the laces to make the shape of the moon, and then he had a whale one and a tree and everything. And he sat there, and he came up to me one day with him, and he was like, Hazel, will you sew with me? And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the sewing machine like, is Nana going to let you use the sewing machine? He was like, no, sew my pictures. And we sat there for nearly 2 hours with these freaking boards. And then this is the thing with Dominic. He's very, like, color-oriented. And he's like, Hazel, whales aren't pink. They're blue. I'm sorry, I'll take the laser. I'll get the blue one. Then I did the moon in green. He went, do you not look at the moon? The moon's yellow. I'm like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I took that one out. But that's what you should be doing with your kids. Do you know what I mean? Do these things that...
I did this in high middle school and elementary school. Take two popsicle sticks, make it into a crucifix.
Right.
Take yarn and go around it.
Yes. Yep. I remember doing them a lot. And the other thing I don't see many kids doing now is making Christmas decorations for trees and stuff.
That's the youth,
man. Yeah. And it's like, remember that one Robert did? I still got it on the tree now. It was four popsicle sticks, like tied together how you said, with string and stuff. And then he took a photo of himself, cut it out, and stuck it on paper, and then stuck it onto the popsicle sticks. That's still on my Christmas tree, because that is the greatest.
Then there was one that I did in high school where you actually made, like, pretty much like any kind of bowl you could use that has to be completely out of yarn.
Yep.
Did I ever finish that thing? I think I did. I don't remember if I ever finished it.
Did you guys ever do papier-mâché stuff?
Uh-huh.
That, to me, we made clowns out of papier-mâché, and we got a balloon.
This is the one, but I don't like mine.
Yeah. We got balloons, and this was when I was in school. Obviously, you blow up the balloon, and then you do the papier-mâché around the balloon. And then we had to make it into, like, a puppet. So we then made a stick, which we got the stick and made a thing out of it. Made clothes for it, put gloves on it, and then painted it white, did hats and all this. Look, and we had this like puppet show with our clowns.
What was another thing that comes to mind? Well, I don't know if those kids do that now, but you could kind of call it plaster. Robin, when you did it, Mrs. Dot.
Oh, yeah.
We did that in my acting class in high school. We had to take plaster and put it on each other's faces. And then once removed, we had to form it into a Disney character.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people did the heroes of Disney. Like, there was a pedestal that one girl did Eeyore. That was amazing. One person did Eeyore, another person did Pinocchio, another person did Winnie the Pooh. My friend Valentino, black dude, Mike's name Valentino, he made the candle from Beauty and the Beast. I went the other direction. Instead of making a hero, I did a villain.
You just saw, didn't you?
I wanted to, originally, but I thought that would take a little bit too long. So what I did was Jafar from Aladdin.
I can see that.
You know how much newspaper I had?
The other thing I remember that we did as well was, I don't know if you can still get them. I haven't seen them, but we used to get these kits with the plaster of Paris stuff, and you had a mold that you could pour it into, and you could then make, you could get ones that were animals, so when you took the rubber thing off, it was like a bear or a rabbit, and you would paint them yourself. And we had Disney ones as well that you could get. And then the only problem was is that you had to mix it, and you had to get it, like, thick and smooth, but not have any air bubbles in it. Otherwise, when you pulled the mold wrap off of it, you'd have, like, air bubble marks in it. So that, you know, you'd have this weird, it'd be like I'd get an air bubble in Pinocchio's nose, so he wouldn't have a nose. You know, stuff like that. And I used to get those every year for Christmas. And there's one of the things that was fun to do. The other thing I used to got a lot, and we did a lot in school, was when you did your own handprint in the cast and everything. I'll tell you a story about that. The teacher that we had.
We did a lot of stuff with clay, though.
Yeah, the teacher that we had, her husband worked in the emergency room, so he dealt with plaster of Paris, because at the time it was before they did drives like that. He would bring home from work the stuff for his wife to bring into the school for us to use. Well, you're only supposed to, with that stuff, you literally mix it up. You're supposed to put your hand in it and remove it right away because it starts to set right away. She was talking to us while she's doing it. So she's like busy talking, blah, 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 like this. She's got her hand in it. Blah, blah, blah. Then she tried pulling it out. And her hand was stuck because the plaster had oozed under her rings and had set. So her ring is stuck in there with her hand in there. We literally had to walk with her holding this like kind of mold with her hand in it over to where the woodwork room was to have the woodwork teacher get with like a little chisel and start chiseling around it to get it off. But yeah, that was, I remember that. That was one of the things that happened. Oh, it was, but it was funny. It really was, because she was like, she said, I remember her said, when you all do this, you just want to put your hand in, press it, count to three, then remove. And but this was the thing, she put her hand in when she's saying it, going, you count to three, then you remove your hand, because it's going to set really quick and we don't need anybody's hand getting stuck. And it was that realization then that she realized that she had screwed up. But the other thing we used to do a lot of was we had a really good art teacher who did a lot of photography, and he would give us cameras and just say to us, like, go around, take photos, just anything, and then we're going to print them up, we're going to do them black and white, and then we're going to put them around the school as, like, an art thing. And some people took the weirdest pictures, but when you saw them in black and white up, it was like, well, goddamn, that looks amazing. Oh, there were some interesting pictures, shall we say, that were taken.
Let me get guys having their butts hanging out. And
one of the kids went up to the entire rugby. I'll let your mind go as to what balls they took, they were playing with. They all stood there, pulled down their shorts, and held their junk like this. And they're all standing there like, smiling.
Yeah.
Just
imagine what would have happened if you
needed
to ask the cheerleaders
squad
the same question.
We don't have cheerleaders, so that wasn't an issue then. But okay, we are coming up to the end of the show.
I'm pretty sure girls took the opportunity to make their first Playboy
centerfold. Yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
Hey, you were there. You ought to know.
I was a geek. I kept to myself. Nobody was interested in me. I had a huge falling out with my stepsister, who was one of the it girls, and my entire rest of the final 3 years of me being in high school was a living nightmare. And I mean a living nightmare. It was horrible. But we'll do school and bullying for another day. Yeah. So on that note, we are going to play a song and then head out for the evening. But first, AJ, what do we have coming up show-wise?
If I remember, tomorrow will be Buck talking. Talk about the All-Star game or All-Star weekend and talk about tomorrow's game between the Bucks and the Patriots.
And you actually on Friday evening will be at NXT.
Oh, yeah, we'll be able to do the show on Friday anyway. So
Clap Saturday.
Right.
So we're going to play out with a song, and we will catch you all very soon.
I thought we were great.
You took your love back and read the contract.
I counted all the days
till you would come back. How stupid was that?
dollars, got euros, got yen, I got pounds.
Zeros.
Calling me up, cause your bad check bound. My new chick 100 and she got her own dinero.
Zeros.
You think I'm thinking about your ass?
I give.